Come on. Oh, I'm excited. The kids are here. Hey, kids. How you doing? Maddox, I have a song for you. A song in the second set for you and Landon. All right. I'm excited to have you here because we are the testimonies are going to be shared today. Salvation testimonies. Oh, I just love those salvation testimonies. When you hear about how a person met Jesus and bowed their knee and said, yes, I receive you as Lord and Savior. Oh, that's one of the most exciting things in a person's life. One of the best decision that they can make in their entire life. And we're going to hear stories from you guys. You guys are going to share that. Oh, I didn't. Daniel, you didn't know you're going to share, huh? Yeah, Dan, you're going to share, huh? And if everyone stays quiet, Blake will come up. So we know that. We already know how he operates. But you know, we're going to move into a season of reaching out. We're going to move into a season. We are actually into that season of reaching out. We have Easter coming up, right? You guys know when Easter is? I don't know. It's sometime in the spring. Yeah, it's in the spring this year. And it's March 31st. Okay, so that's an opportunity for us to invite people that the Lord has laid on our hearts. Another one is, as you guys probably already know, we are going to be moving because they're renovating Stanford. So as we move, which will be the following week, we'll be at another place. That's an opportunity for us to invite friends and family. Okay, our Jerusalem, the people closest to us, that could be an opportunity. And then we have another one. I'm hosting Alpha again. Woo! I don't know how you guys feel about it, but man, it was awesome last year. We're going to do it again this summer. So that's another opportunity for us to be thinking about the people that we want to invite to one of those events. And then we're going to have other things too as well over the year. But those are the three things that we're coming into with this season, the spring season. So my job at Catalyst is to help keep evangelism or reaching out in the front of people's minds, okay? Right now, I can see where evangelism, reaching out, sharing with people, it can be very kind of uncomfortable. And so a lot of times we push it to the back of our minds, right? We don't really think about it too much. So it's back there with going to the DMV or, you know, doing jury duty. Back there is evangelism as well. My job is to keep pushing it forward where we go somewhere, we go to the grocery store, we go somewhere and we're like, ooh, I'm sensing the Spirit wants me to say something to that person. I'm sensing the Spirit wants me to do something with that person. My job as one of the associate pastors is to push it forward. Keep pushing it forward so that it's in more towards the front of our minds. And so, like I said, we have these events that are coming up. We'll also be promoting all those events. I'm going to share this at the end after the testimonies, but there's an app, a prayer app that I found that is super simple to use. And I'm going to encourage all of us to load that onto our phone, put some people in there, and then to pray for those people. You can add on the notifications, and it'll notify you, hey, pray for this person. And we want to give opportunities like we have in this service for people to share about reaching out. Right, Maddox? Reaching out. Super important. So we want to keep that in the front of people's minds instead of way back there. So to kick off the testimony, I'm going to share with you a testimony that the Lord kind of reminded me of this past week. So I became a Christian in 1987. Yeah, I was a Christian in the 90s, in the 1990s, kids. I became a Christian in 1987, and I was the only Christian in my family. And I shared once in a while to my parents and my sister. But pretty much, yeah, it was just me. And I came on staff at Cerritos Baptist Church, and then we went to a evangelism conference in Chicago. So we went out there, gave us some tools, equipped us. So we came back, and then I was like, hey, you know, I learned this bridge, the bridge model let me practice that on my dad. So he was home. So I sat down with him, and then we pulled out a little napkin, and then I drew like a little, it's almost like a Grand Canyon. Like, we're on one side of the Grand Canyon, and God is on the other side. And no matter how hard you try, you can't get to the other side. You can't get to God on your own power. So Jesus came down, and now he is the bridge for us to walk across and get to God. Okay, so I drew this whole thing out for my dad. I'm like, okay, Dad, this is how it is. And I told him, I just want to practice on you, because I had shared the gospel with him before. I just want to practice on you. So he said, okay. So I'm doing this and everything. And then I asked him, you understand? He's all, yeah. Well, you know, again, part of this is I have, I need to ask you if you want to accept Jesus. And he was like, he's trying to be nice. So, yeah, maybe not right now. So, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, well, you know, I'm just glad he let me practice on him. So, okay, whatever. So fast forward, maybe about half a year, 6 months, Ida and I, we were married and no kids at that time. And my sister was at my parents' house and we were just hanging out. And my sister and I were in the room watching Friends, and Ida was talking to my mom. And she comes into the bedroom and she goes, come out here. And we're like, okay, but we're in the good part of Friends. No, come out here. Okay, so we come out, and then she goes, Mom wants to accept Jesus. And we're like, wow. And Dad too. Mom and Dad want to accept Jesus. It's like, wow, all right. So we all grab hands, and then we pray. They pray the prayer, and they become Christians. And so now, we're celebrating, awesome. So unfortunately, a few years later, both my mom and dad passed away. But, you know, for me, like, sad, but yet at the same time going, gosh, they're in heaven now. So they made that decision. Yes, thank you, Lord. A few years later, after my parents passed away, Ida came up to me, and she said this so matter-of-factly. I was kind of like, she goes, did you know that that napkin that you used to share with your dad? He kept that, and then he shared it with my mom, and he basically shared the gospel with her. And then the reason why he said no to you at that time is because he wanted a chance for he and mom to come and enter the kingdom together. And so I was just like, oh my gosh, thank you, Jesus, for the way that you work and the way that you use things and the way that you work with people to just bring them into your kingdom. And I was just like, wow, why didn't you tell me that earlier when they were still alive? And I was like, it just kind of slipped my mind. But yeah, I was just like, oh, thank you, Lord. So, you know, there are things that we do that the Lord leads us to do that we may not see the immediate fruit, but God is working. Other people are sowing into our loved ones. Other people are sowing. We may not be there at that moment to be part of the harvest, but God is sowing. God is raising up people. God is doing things to bring that person into that place. So today, I hope to hear some stories from you guys, whether it's your own salvation, your own time when you met Jesus, and you're like, yeah, something clicked, something happened in my head, and I just knew I was supposed to do that. Or if you have a testimony about you sharing the gospel with someone, sharing the good news, sharing Jesus. And again, it doesn't have to be like, and then they became a Christian right then and there. It can be, but if it's not, that's okay. I love to hear the stories of people stepping out in faith and doing their best to follow God. So I know you guys are feeling a little nervous right now, kind of like, okay, God, do you want me to share? I pray that you will step in faith to say, yeah, I'm willing to share with my church family what God is doing, because I am the light of the world. We are the light of the world, and we need to go into the darkness. All right? So, Oh, there they are. So Barry and Kyle will be kind of like MCs through the time. And yeah, so come on up when you feel like the Lord tugging your heart.
So we want to hear your stories. We want to hear stories of either how you came to the Lord, even if it was many, many years ago, or people that were influential with you coming to the Lord, or different ways you tried to reach out and just be be the light to other people. So yeah, please come on up. We want to hear your stories, and it's really. I know a lot of times you feel nervous and things like that, but it's really about the Lord. It's really honoring and glorifying and lifting up the Lord. Okay, so, yeah. Trisha, yes!
Can I take it down? Okay. Oh, it's fine. Okay. Good morning. So I'm going to break the ice. Get ready if your heart is pounding. You can come up and stand in line. That is fine also. So many, many years ago, When I was born until I was 10, I grew up in a very dysfunctional household, not going to church, parents partying, drugs, everything. But my grandparents, my dad's parents, took me to church every so often. And I just say that because if you're a grandparent, even if your kids are lost, take your grandkids and continue to pray over them because it's a big deal because it still affects me to this day that my grandparents did that for me. And then I got baptized. Kind of I felt peer pressured into baptism. I know that's crazy, but so I did it for other people, but I feel that God still had his hand on it. And probably saved me from a lot of horrible things that could have happened. But I was living on my own, single, living what I thought was the best life, which was partying and anything that you could think of with that associates with that, and had no interest in God. So I was in the church. Well, my parents became Christians when I was 11. So I started going to church from 11 on regularly. And so the church that I grew up in was not like Catalyst. It was no, like if you had your hand up during worship, it was like, whoa, that person is feeling the Holy Spirit. Not like the conga lines that happen here and Bob on the drums, which I love. That's like a love language to me. I love worship here. So I say that because we weren't taught to hear God's voice or just to have conversation with him. It was just you go to church, you pray a little bit, and then you just move on with your day. So I was maybe 21, and I was in my bathroom in my apartment, and I was just curling my hair, and I literally heard a voice, and it was like, I'm at the door knocking, are you going to answer it? And it was immediate. I didn't even know the Bible back then, and I knew it was God. And I just sat on my bathtub and I sobbed, and I said, yeah, I'll open the door. And from there on, I quit everything, and I started going to church, everything bad. And I started to go to church, and I've had ups and downs from 21 to now, but God is so, so good, and I really think it was just from going to church a few times with my grandparents to my parents when they became Christians praying over us at night, which I found out later that they used to pray over us, really helped with my journey. So that's my testimony. I'm gonna popcorn this. That means I'm gonna pick someone, right? No, I'm just kidding. No pressure. See, I'm peer pressuring people.
One of my favorite movies is It's a Wonderful Life. And in that movie, we don't really fully realize the impact that we have on other people. Russ didn't know that practicing the bridge on his dad would lead to his dad and mom and his sister too eventually coming to the Lord. Trisha's grandparents just taking her to church with her. And the Lord can use all those things to profoundly change people's life and their eternity. Nancy!
Okay, I wanted to share how I came to Christ, but there's kind of a backstory to it. You know, there's a verse that says that God knew us, He had us in mind even before the foundation of the world. And that I resonate with that because, well, my mom grew up as a Christian, and my dad grew up as a Buddhist, and I think they met during the internment camp. But my mom told me this story that brought that verse to mind because I don't remember all the details, but I don't know if this was before she married my dad or after, but she went to my dad's dad and basically asked him if he wanted her to follow the Buddhist religion. And this is where I thank God because it's a very Buddhist thinking that, okay, so they think that, like, if God is at the top of the mountain, there are many roads to that. And so basically he said, well, you found your way to God, and so, you know, keep your Christian religion. So I think because of that, okay, so where I grew up in Long Beach, and across the street from our house was a Baptist church. And so when I was a kid, I was probably like first grade. She must have been my mom, sent me and my brothers to church. And so I just loved going to church. I loved, the Sunday school teachers were so loving, and just hearing that God loved me and He was always with me, and, you know, the whole story. So, but my mom didn't go to church with us until later. And I think it was some of the ladies from church that reached out to her. But, and so we, yeah, my mom went and I went. And then my brothers, you know, they had a different experience because, like, my older brother got kind of turned off by something that one of the Sunday school teachers told him, and then my other brother, when I was in high school, I was asked, when he graduated from high school, I was invited him to a Christian camp retreat, and I was kind of shocked. I was asking him if he believed in God, he said he was an agnostic, like he didn't know. But my mom and I convinced him to go to this Christian retreat, and he accepted Christ. And so, and then, So, okay, going back to, you know, I became a Christian when I was very young, and I'm very thankful for that because, like, everything I learned, it was like the truth. You know, I just had that childlike faith and trust that everything I heard was true. But I heard another story about my family that I think my aunt told us that my dad's mom, who was Buddhist, she wanted to find out about the Christian religion, so she went to church. But what she heard there really turned her off and freaked her out because they were talking about, like, you know, if you don't accept Jesus, you'll burn in hell for whatever, you know, eternity, and that, like, freaked her out. So when I heard that story, I thought, oh, man, you know, if she had gone to a church where she heard about the love and forgiveness and of Jesus, gosh, that could have changed everything, right? So anyways, when I heard that, I thought, God, please give everyone a second chance in my dad's family. But when I think about my dad's family, he had two brothers and I think four sisters. And pretty much, I think almost every one of them married a Christian. And so, like, some of my cousins are Buddhist and some are Christian, but God gave me this prayer assignment because one of my aunts on my dad's side, she gave us a list of all the people in our family, starting from my grandparents, all my uncles and aunts, my cousins and the cousins' kids, like in chronological order. And so I felt like the Lord said, use that list. It was this period of time where he goes, I don't know, it was like every once a week for an hour, pray through that list. Which I did. I mean, I started out really good, and then towards the end, you know, it was like kind of petered out. But I did that, and, you know, I just didn't know what happened. But after a while, I started hearing these stories of, oh, did you know that this cousin got baptized? You know, people were coming to the Lord. And then the other thing is, I feel like, you know, one of my callings is as an intercessor, and I feel like that started, well, the person I prayed for the most was my dad, like from the time I was little. That was like the one prayer I prayed all the time, and I'm like, God, if there's only one prayer you answer, I want my dad to come to Christ, you know. It took years and years, but he finally did become a Christian because, you know, my mom was going to Gardena Valley Baptist, and my dad would play golf on Sundays. He goes, oh, I go to sunrise service every Sunday, you know. But what happened was while he was playing golf one day, he was going after a ball, and he broke his wrist. And so he started going to church with my mom. He really liked the people there, and especially liked the potlucks. That's how he started going. But then, so when his wrist healed, he went back to golf. But then a year, almost exactly a year after that, he was fixing something and he fell and he broke the same wrist. And then my mom goes, oh, you think God's trying to tell you something? So he started going to church. Anyway, you know, thank you, Jesus, for saving me when I was making, you know, I was like, he made it possible for me to become a Christian. So I'm so thankful.
The Holy Spirit asked me to share a story about evangelism. Sorry. Holy Spirit. Ross said this is the season of evangelism, and I want to share this because it's the desire of God's heart that no one shall perish. And that, you don't know how you play a role in it. So I know in the churches, 10% of people are gifted in evangelism. They're just naturally and able to share. Not me. I'm not one of them. I'm not very good at apologetic. That bridge story, I trying to memorize that. I forgot already. Is it bridge to Arizona? What is it, Grand Canyon? Well, anyway, that was terrible, right? And so first year in college, we hang together as friends. And the Lord said, I want you to sit with, this girl's been coming after me and say, hey, I have a question for you because I heard that you're Christian, right? I'm like, I can't really answer. I'm just pounding. I don't want to do it. I resist it. So I go, okay, Jesus. He said, you're being disobedient. You have a choice. I go, okay, what do I say? I really did try to memorize that bridge. I did work on it, okay? And one day after school in the library, we sat on the steps. I go, yeah, you can ask me the questions now. So she went over there, she asked the questions. I did my best, people, to know my lived experience, my life story. I did the best I can. So after the conversation, this is what she said to me. Thank you for your time. Thank you for answering my questions. Now I know why I should not be a Christian. And I said, Jesus, I already told you I'm very bad at doing this. And the Holy Spirit said, that's not the point. The point is I ask you to be obedient to me. So you are faithful. Thank you, Ruth. Thank you, my daughter. You were being obedient. In the flesh, I still took a deep breath and like, okay, that was good. Because I know the love of God is for me. Between my love and the Father is do what he says. 5 years later, seriously, we all graduated. We didn't see each other. She goes, hi, Ruth. I'm like, hi, guess what? I'm a Christian. She goes, oh, that's so great. You know, what happened? And she said, remember that day we sat in the library stairs? We have that talk? Yes. That's when you told me you don't want to be a believer. She goes, no, but then, yes. But that started my curiosity. And as I walk, God sent other people into my life. Then eventually I became a believer. So I say, oh, this is what's about because we're a chain link. You might just be the first one. And the thing is the Lord's heart does not desire anyone to perish. And then here's the scripture. And I also experienced this. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. So I was the first chain link in that story. And later on, during my college year, I went to get a haircut, seriously. This is a brand new a hairdresser. I don't know, it's recommended by the friend. I'm sitting there, he's cutting my hair, we chit-chatted, right? I don't know why, out of the blue, he said, are you a Christian? I'm like, yes. I go, have you been going to church? He goes, yes. So I was just chit-chatting, and suddenly the Holy Spirit asked him for me to invite him to Jesus Christ. And I said, do you want to sit with me and do the prayer, inviting Jesus into your life, become your Lord and Savior? He said, yes. I was like, oh, my goodness. Okay, so we both together prayed the salvation prayer. The first thing he asked me is, do you have a Bible? Because I want a Bible. I happened to have a Bible in my car, and I gave it to him. And here, the scripture, when I read that, it came true. Because I have not done the hard work, but I am the last chinkling. I have reaped the benefits of people who came before me. So in this season of evangelism, understand the heart, the Lord, God's heart. He does not desire anyone to be perished. If the Lord asks you to share in whatever way, whatever possible, even like me, it's terrible in knowing all the bridge or apologetic. And so in Cambodia, I guess that was the closure because I went to this hospital to share the events. I started with Genesis, people. In Genesis, we're going to be here 5 years until the gospel come. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit just invited her to see she want to come to Jesus. And they say, yes. So we are a chain link. If you felt the Lord ask you to do something and sharing the good news because we lived a life of good news, do it. Do it. The Lord will be very pleased. Thank you.
I wanted to share, someone sent me a text this morning. I'll just say her name. It's Jesslyn Kubota. And she sent me a text. She said, do you have the YouVersion Bible app? The verse of the day is Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. And then she wrote, thought of Catalyst while reading the verse of the day and watching the video and reading the devotional. I've been telling myself throughout the day, like before going to an event or before a meeting, be the light, Jess. Be the light. It actually helps me feel confident. It reminds me that Jesus is in me and with me. Thank you, Jesus. Then she writes, I'm so proud of her. She writes, burn brighter, little fire emoji. I am a firehead after all. Just thought of that. And I was just felt really encouraged that, you know, it's making a difference for her every day. She just reminds herself, just be the light. You're the light. And that's her mindset going into meetings and events. And I thought that's awesome.
So I'm going to share... piggybacking on what Ruth shared about being the chain link. So I had an interesting opportunity to do some evangelism this summer. And I'm going to speak to the high schoolers down here. So my sister-in-law asked me if I would come and do a Bible study for her, for my nephew and a bunch of his friends. I thought, okay, yeah, I guess I could do that. So we found a time that worked. So mostly seniors, some juniors, but they have a good group in their neighborhood of friends that they really get along well. And so I went there the first night. I think there was like six boys, and it was good. They were curious. They had some good questions. It went well. And then the next week I went back, and I show up, and they're playing poker. So they all love playing poker. So there's like 10 or 12 kids. So they're playing poker, and I'm like, oh, man, are we going to have a Bible study? So my brother comes up to me. He's like, hey, they still know they're going to do Bible study. They're just finishing their game, and then I think most of them will stay. So sure enough, they finished their game of poker, and then almost all the kids stayed. I think one left. So this time there's like 10 kids, 10 or 11. And so we had the Bible study again and had them, you know, they're just asking really good questions. So we showed a short video, and then I just asked them, what in the video stood out to you? They all had really good insights, and then they just started asking questions. So I got like put on the hot seat. Well, what about this? What about life after death? What about this? What about that? And I thought it was awesome. Like the curiosity was very genuine, and it was great. So then we closed our time up, and you know I didn't want to go over an hour, so we just closed our time up, and then they get the poker table back out. My brother he pulled me aside. He's like, oh, hey, what you did was really awesome. And he goes, hey, if you jump in and play with them for a little bit, they're going to just think the world of you. So I'm like, sure. So I just, you know, played a few hands and jumped in with them. Pretty soon, by the end of that night, they're calling me Uncle Kyle. So, hey, Uncle Kyle, hey, thanks for coming out. So when I'm leaving, they're all saying, bye, Uncle Kyle. See you next week. So the next week, there's 18 kids. So... they know there's going to be poker after, so they waited till after, but all these kids are just packed in their living room. And again, we went around just all kinds of really good questions. Played poker after, had a lot of fun, and you know they had a little, I think, a Friendsgiving thing, or actually it was a Christmas. They all got together, and they were asking, is Uncle Kyle coming? I couldn't make it that night, but we're planning to do another one this summer. But I thought it was cool that I actually heard from my sister-in-law that one of the boys wanted to get a Bible for Christmas. So he asked his mom, and the mom reached out to my sister-in-law. I was like, what? And then she reached out to me, like, what's a good Bible for somebody who's seeking, who wants to ask questions? So I sent some suggestions. But I felt it was really a cool opportunity to be that link in the chain that Ruth was talking about. You know, we didn't have like a salvation time, but maybe this summer we will. But I thought, you know, these kids have genuine curiosity, and I'm part of the process of them asking questions and trying to give them some solid answers, but it wasn't what I expected. So I kind of coined the term poker evangelism. So poker evangelism is a way to reach certain people. You know, Jesus did lots of different things, but it was a way to reach them where they're at. And so kids, you know, high schoolers, and you know, get your friends together, even if it's just two or three, and you can share stuff with them. I think there is a genuine curiosity in that age group for sure. And so, it's just kind of a fun evangelism story.
I saw Howard clapping. I think I heard an amen from him too.
Hi. Hi, guys. Most of you don't know me, but we've been visiting your church for many years, and so some of you know me, but we're really good friends of the Homs, and we come from Northern California. And I asked my husband if he's okay if I share. So I wanted to encourage the people who maybe don't know how God will work or what God will continue to work in your lives to know that, you know, for our son who grew up with us in church and had like sat under the best of teachers when we went to talks with N.T. Wright, Tim Keller, and like had grown up knowing all the Bible stories. He went through a time in his life when it was very dark. He really felt distraught. We really didn't know what to do for him except to pray. He went at the time of his life when he was literally the farthest from us. He was away in Utah, and he was alone, and he was in the wilderness. I think that's when God really used all the lessons from his youth to remind him that his life was worth living, and that he knew a God who loved him. So at that point was when he actually reached out to us and asked us, "Hey, Mom, Dad, can you send me a Bible? And can you send me a book of prayer so that I can use that?" And it was really amazing. Now, I know his story doesn't end there, because he's still working out his faith in a lot of ways. He's still wondering if he's good enough for a God. And we all know that none of us are good enough for a God to love us. We all don't deserve a God to love us. But he's still working that out for himself. But I just wanted to encourage those of you who haven't yet seen that end of the tunnel. Some of you have seen with your friends and family the end of the tunnel, for your friends and family to come and know Jesus and really know the love of Jesus. Like, keep praying for them. Keep working with them. They each have their own story. And I pray that for those of you who don't know for yourselves, or for those of you who have family members who don't know, that Jesus loves you regardless of what has happened in your life and how you feel about yourself, that he does. So, thanks.
Thanks so much for all the sharing. I thought right now what we can do is have Pastor Ross come back up. And he's going to talk about this app. And this app, it's not something we're going to use as a whole church for prayers or things. It's just a tool for us personally to have a list of people and be reminded, pray for our family and friends or coworkers or neighbors or classmates, to keep it before us to pray for them. I think one of the themes throughout all the sharing is that prayers, even like Nancy talking about praying for years and years and years for her dad. I know some of you are in that situation too. you've been praying. There's family members, there's maybe parents that don't know the Lord. And God hears the prayers. God moves in ways we cannot see. And so he's going to introduce this app, and I thought maybe we could just have a short time where you, every one of us, could just pray, lift up to the Lord, friends, family, people on our hearts that need to know the Lord. So.
All right, so I found, you know, I think before we had this, we wanted to do like a little slip of paper and have, you know, us put our names in. I was thinking, I'm going to lose that piece of paper. I mean, I'm going to lose it after a week. So I was trying to think of a better way. So I found an app. It's really simple to use. If we can bring it up, it's called Echo Prayer App. And I think it kind of looks like this, or maybe without the circle. But it's very, very, again, very simple to use. And I know for me, it's good for accountability to be able to say, oh, yeah, I got to pray for these people. Because for me, out of sight, out of mind. So, yeah, so I've got a list. I've got a list of people on my app that I pray for. And so I think if we can do that, if you're like me where you need some help, some accountability to pray, yeah. This would be a great thing. And then you can put other things on there, too. So you can pray for your family. You can pray for the church. You can do other things, too. But, yeah, so this is what it looks like. If you can, download it onto your phone. And, yeah, let's go for it.
Okay, so why don't we just have a short time, just a couple of minutes. And maybe, Ron, can you guys put on some just music? Or maybe Jeremy. Jeremy, come on up. Yeah. And kids, we're going to ask you just to be quiet just for this time. Some of you might be wondering, if you're newer to our church, gosh, the kids, they just kind of run around up here. And actually, that's by design. That's on purpose. When we started the church, one of the convictions of my heart was, when kids come to church, I want them to feel like they're coming to God's house. You know, and growing up for me, when we had family gatherings, you know, there's the dads kind of meeting and playing cards or doing something. The moms are talking, but the kids are just running around because it's family. And it's like I could just be myself with my family. And so, yeah, we wanted that tone in our service. We wanted it to be about family. I wanted it to be where the kids come, they feel like they can be themselves, within reason, they could be themselves, and it's fun, and they feel welcome, and they feel like, oh, I like going to church. They don't make me just be quiet, sit still, fold my hands, and stay there. So that's why we do that, because we believe God's place, God's family, his heart is to welcome all. Jesus said, let the children come. Just as they are, let the children come. So that's why. But, you know, if we could just be maybe quiet for a minute, and we're just going to give you a minute. And I want to just ask you to ask the Lord, right where you're sitting, Lord, who needs my prayer today? Especially someone that doesn't know the Lord. Who needs my prayers today? Put them on my heart. Bring them to my mind. And we're just going to spend a minute, and each one of us just pray for those people, okay? So let's do that now. Lord, would you just bring to our hearts, bring to our minds, friends, family, neighbors, coworkers that don't know you, Lord, that are at this moment leading to an eternity without you. And so, God, would you just speak to us? Would you just bring people to mind, bring their faces to our mind, and just speak to us about specifically how we can pray for them today. So let's do that now. Let's take a minute, just pray.
Thank you so much for joining us for our online service. Hope you will join us in person sometime. It'd be great to see you and meet you. Don't forget to subscribe to our Catalyst YouTube channel so you don't miss out on anything. And be blessed this week. And as always, thank you, Jesus.